God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, for the chance that we've had to worship. Lord God, you have lifted us out of the mire of our lives, out of the problems and the issues and the challenges, to realize that there's a God in heaven and he's greater than all of those things. And Lord, we come to you now, Father, in worship, and we come to you now, Lord, with hearts, Lord, that want to be taught. And I pray, dear God, that you would start with mine, Lord, as I communicate your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just take the application, Lord, to my heart, bring it to all of our hearts, Lord, that we might be people, Lord, of character, people that live for you and bring you glory, Lord, each and every day of life and in every circumstance. Lord, I pray that you give us clarity of thought now and communication, and I ask, Lord, that you would just work in us, Lord, as only you can. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen. So I want to just take a quick minute, and I want to say thank you to our men who manned up and our ladies who ladied up, I guess. And we did a great job on Friday night in helping our students build their cars, build their floater boats. We'll kind of finish that up this coming Friday. And we just praise God for you guys. It takes the team to do it all, and we praise God for what the Lord is doing today. I want to move right to our next slide. And see, I'm using a different clicker. I'm not sure if it's going to work or not, but we'll give it a shot today. And I want to take us back to our series this morning as we look at this idea of building characters, kingdom principles from the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to go right over to our next slide this morning as we stop and we think about that. And what we're going to think about and focus on this morning is this principle of, again, digging deeper into the law. And I'll just tee you guys up. Remember, Jesus, as he makes these statements, he says, "You have heard it said," and then how's he continue? "But I say." In other words, we hear a lot of things. Sometimes we think they're biblical and scriptural. And sometimes our application is woefully low and short. And today we're going to talk about this issue of love. And love, by the way, is a defining characteristic and attribute of our God. But we're going to talk a little bit about love and this issue of when we do charitable deeds, what does that look like? And I just want to praise God. I just mentioned our people that came out on Friday night. I appreciate, by the way, our facilities manager, Terry. Terry pulled together all his tools and all these people. And I praise God, you know, he didn't do it to be seen. In fact, in the picture, you notice he wasn't in there. He was the taker of the picture. But that's what we're talking about when we do charitable deeds. We do them to bring glory to God. And the kids just had a great time. And we're going to talk about how that plays out in our life, even beyond those little things that we do. So let's dig in this morning, and I want to just kind of have a stop and just think about this for a second. Don't we often think that we are great lovers of people? And I was asking our staff this week, I said, "Who's your enemy?" And most of us said, I don't really have any, outside of ourselves, I don't really have any enemies. You know, and we'll look at that, but I want to just focus in. Let's just listen to Jesus and see how we really compare as a lover of people. So we're going to kind of dig into that this morning. Our eternal truth this morning is right here, which is this. Kind of our whole series, we're focusing on building God's kingdom here. And God is indeed building his kingdom, but he needs us as the bricks and the mortar to change so that we can bring glory to God. He needs us to be different in order for his kingdom to really grow here. And what I want to say this morning is this. You know, real Christian character is superlative through Jesus Christ. It is overwhelmingly great. And agape love is the defining characteristic or attribute of God and his children. And I just want to stop for a second. Do you think that's true of us? Is this incredible, selfless love, is that what people think when they see us? By the way, not on Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, right? Did I always see that? And I want to say, you know, Jesus calls us to model God as we love others deeply. And I put this in parentheses, even our enemies. We'll talk about who they are coming up in a minute. And serve them with integrity, not just to have everyone pat us on the back. So we're going to dig in and we're going to look at that truth this morning. So we're going to jump right on in this morning. And I want to, by way of a reminder this morning, remember, we're talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said three major things in this sermon that we got to kind of grab a hold of this morning. The first thing is Jesus said this. He said he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. He also came and he taught us in the Sermon on the Mount that he wants us to exceed the law. Not just accomplish it like the scribes and Pharisees. And he clearly wants to correct our erroneous thinking. And I'll throw this out. Don't we have, as people, sometimes have some messed up thinking? I mean, I know I do. But we have some thinking that just is not really on track. And we're going to kind of dig in and look at that. I want to share just a couple of quick verses with us. Just to kind of drive that point home as we tee this up. So we're going to go to the first one right now. And the first one is this. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill. And I want to throw this out. Think about what we covered so far in the Sermon on the Mount. We talked about murder. And then Jesus said, you know what? If you're angry at your brother without a cause, that's the root of what we see out there in murder. That's the problem. And then we dealt with divorce and adultery, man, some hard areas. We dealt with that. And then Pastor Ansu last week, he came up and he said that, you know, we are supposed to have oaths. We're not supposed to swear. And then he came back after that and he said, and we can't retaliate when people do us wrong. Man, that Pastor Ansu was just hitting us last week, right? Right? But he was taking the words of God, and you see what I'm talking about? See how God is correcting our erroneous thinking? And I want to say this. God didn't come to help us sort of better reach our standard of righteousness, but he came and he taught us, as Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, that we would reach his standard of righteousness. About it. It's kind of easy to do ours sometimes because, you know, we always grade on a curve. You know, we always kind of, you know, bring it down so we can get there. But God doesn't do that. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So we're going to go right to the next slide as we dig in and think about that. And he talks about this idea of exceeding the law. He says, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees were masters at looking righteous. And I'll throw this out. So are the church people. Starting right up here, right? You know, right here. You know, we know how to look good, but Jesus said this about the scribes and Pharisees. He said, inside, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but inside, you're full of all kinds of bad stuff. And it's so true. And he wants us not to just exceed human righteousness. He wants us to really fulfill his righteousness. So we want to dig into the next point. And I want to throw this out, kind of correcting erroneous thinking. You know, Jesus said, or Paul said these words in Romans 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want to say this. That's why we teach the Bible every Sunday. We teach it because my mind is a mess, and it needs renewal every single day. That's why I open up the Word of God each day, and God's Word just renews me and corrects my bad thinking. And I want to throw this out. I kind of wrote this here parenthetically. Living like God is nothing that you would think of. And I'll throw this out. You know, in our wildest imagination, living like God and modeling God, even in love, like I'm not thinking about loving my enemies. I have a hard enough time loving my friends. Amen? Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I mean, I have a hard enough time loving my family, let alone loving my enemies. And again, that's how I want to live in that level. But God's going like, no, we're going to raise that bar. We're going to raise that up some more. And that's what the Lord is talking about as we dive in this morning. So we're going to go right to the next part. And appreciate you, Sarah, so much. You know, and James wrote this, Jesus' brother, he said, if you keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, you're guilty of all. And we're going to correct that. You know, and here's the thought. We might have come in this morning just having a lot of things right. What if I don't love people like God does? You know what that says? I missed the whole thing. I missed the whole thing. And that's what we're going to kind of dive into this morning and think about. Just a real quick summarizing point as we kind of orient ourselves to Sermon on the Mount. We'll go right to the next slide. Is this, right? Jesus says, you have heard it said, and he is referring to the teaching of the various rabbis. And that teaching tends to be human, outward, achievable, and something that I can boast about. I can say, man, look how good I am. And that's you have heard it said. And effectively, Jesus is correcting their misinterpretation and their human thinking about what God says of these commandments of the law. Jesus says, but I say, and he moves from the manifestation to the motive and the movements of our hearts. Like God wants righteousness on the inside, like we just sang about, not just the outside. And remember, our righteousness is supposed to exceed the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, I'm going to look up for a second. You know what? A lot of times people come to church, and a lot of us know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we still struggle to follow him because we don't always walk in the Spirit. But if you're here today, without Jesus Christ, it is impossible to please him. Like, the only thing we can do is just cry out to God and say, God, save me, change me, give me your Spirit, and now I have a hope for glory and change in this life. You know, it's just impossible without Christ. And if you're here today, you know what? Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, we're so glad. If you're an unbeliever, we're saying, praise God, you're here. Because we want you to meet the one who gave us hope and gives us ability to change. And the next thing is just, our perspective of the law, our working knowledge is, Jesus just helps us to examine and explain it. And it's often, you know, we ask these kind of questions. Well, I can go all these things and still be a Christian, right? And what God's saying is, no, what's God really want us to do and how to live? And that's what we're going to jump into this morning. So, bam, we're going to jump right into it now to our next slide. And I want to focus on this idea. Loving others deeply. And we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. And there's kind of four things, and if you have your bulletin outline, it's there, that I want you guys to get a hold of this morning. And I want to talk about, let's talk about the law. And what does the law really say? Then we're going to talk about some limits of our love. Limits. And then we're going to talk about loving in the likeness of God. How would God love? And I better look up for a second. Isn't it easy to love lovable people? You know, we had a chance today. We interviewed three students for baptism to make sure they know the Lord as their Savior. And they came all dressed. They had matching masks on today. They were cute. They were lovable. You just want to love those kids, right? That was easy. Some of us, man, we're not so lovable. Especially tomorrow. Not so much today. We're looking good today, right? But tomorrow, we're not quite as lovable. So what are the limits of that? You know, and how do we do that in the likeness of God? And then I want to look at some real biblical, godly wisdom and logic about love. And we're going to kind of dive into that this morning. So let's go to the first verse. And we're going to bring it right up right now. And here it is. Look what Jesus says. Remember, in customary fashion, by the way, this is the last comparison like this where Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And by the way, everybody look up. Is that an unreasonable statement? Someone who's hostile against you. That's, by the way, that's an enemy. An enemy is someone who's hostile towards you, and you might be hostile in retaliation to them. Is that unreasonable? Have we all been there? Yep. I love my neighbor. You know, the guy that cuts my grass when I go on vacation. You know, I love the neighbor that invites me over, you know, for a barbecue. I love my neighbor when he helps me carry up, you know, big stuff that gets delivered to my house. Man, I love my neighbor, right? He's great. But I hate my enemy. And Jesus takes this statement, by the way, everybody look up, which is kind of reasonable on a human level, isn't it? People that are hostile, I'm not trying to hug them. Right? It seems like a reasonable statement, but look what Jesus does. And by the way, this is the point, kind of big picture. Some of the things that we think are reasonable are sin. Some of the things we think are reasonable absolutely go against what God wants us to be. And by the way, some of us think this is reasonable, and we know God. We have Jesus in our heart. But he takes that statement. And I want to just kind of jump into that. I'm going to go to the next slide. As we do that today, I want to ask the question, is that the law? Did Jesus say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy? They said, how do you know? Bible. Okay, yeah, by the way, you got to check it out. That's why I said, you know what, I'm going to check it out. And by the way, the Bible says this all over the place, right? We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you find that in each of the Gospels, by the way. And you find the roots of that back in the Old Testament. And I couldn't find anywhere where it says, love God, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I couldn't find it anywhere there. But here's the thought. And I want to take you guys, and you look up on the screen, in Psalm chapter 139. This is where sometimes we take Scripture and we don't quite understand what it means, and we can kind of infer things out of it that are wrong. Or sometimes we actually think things are Scripture and they're not. I'll give you an example. Tell me if this is Scripture. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, I know all you moms are saying that. Right? I want to back you up. It's a good thing. Right? What chapter and verse is that found? Yeah, right? Right? Where's it at, right? So check it out. And by the way, David wrote this. It says, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. And I want to take one step back before I go forward. Understand that when we read the Psalms, these are songs from the heart of God's people in every place in life. Despair, euphoria, and everywhere in between. This is the heart of man crying out, praising God in the midst of those things. And by the way, there's some psalms, and they're called imprecatory psalms, that are actually asking God, God, curse these people. By the way, those are not to be the songs of the Church of Jesus Christ. So, you know, don't say, hey, I heard that in the Psalms. So I'm praying a curse upon you. But look what David says. He says, depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them as my enemies. Right? So David, that's there in the Psalms. But that's not our way of life as redeemed people who are trying to model God. Look at the next one. This is Psalm 140, next chapter. He says, as for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. By the way, how many people have prayed this next one? Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they may not rise up again. Let not a slanderer be established on earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. You know, and we've kind of, in our hearts, sometimes when we're hot, when we're angry at people, when we've been hurt by people who hurt us, don't we think that way? And again, that's the heart of man. And Jesus is saying, you know what? We're going to lift that up a level. In fact, a whole lot of levels. Because God's people, even when they're hurt, can act like God and act like Jesus. And that's what he's talking about. So we're going to go right to the next verse. And I want to share with you guys. Let's look at Leviticus. By the way, how many people have read Leviticus recently? Yeah, if you read through your Bible, you'd read Leviticus. If you don't read your Bible through, like cover it front to back, you probably don't read Leviticus a whole lot. I want to have you guys, in a serious way, would you guys write down Leviticus 19. This chapter, by the way, gives us a root of how to look at life and how God thinks about a whole lot of stuff. And listen to what God says. He says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. And I'm going to step one more step back before I go forward more again. By the way, to the Israelites, everyone who was not a Jew was your enemy. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up for a second. Sometimes as Americans, everyone who's not an American, we act like they're our enemy. And I'm going to throw this out. Even our world today, you know, as we went through all the things of terrorism from 9/11 up until now, you know, we think about countries in the world like Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq. Are all the people there our enemy? No, they're not, right? But humanly, we like to think they are sometimes, don't we? And then, you know, the media and all kind of jumps on that and kind of move us different ways for different purposes. By the way, most of them not gods, you know? And look what he says. He says, don't take vengeance on your people, your neighbor. But he says, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And look what he says, I am the Lord. In other words, this is how it ought to be. Love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, we'll come to this in a second. Here's what people want to do like us, though, because we're kind of smart. We want to outfox God. So we want to say, well, I do love my neighbor, but these other people, they're not my neighbor. So we want to make it okay, right? And that's not how it works. So, and look what the Lord says in Leviticus. He says, look at verse 33. The little dot, dot, dot means there's a gap. And he says, and if a stranger dwells with you in your land, would you get that? You shall not mistreat him. All of a sudden, the neighborhood just got bigger. Right? We're in the neighborhood. They're our neighbors. He said, if a stranger dwells in your land, don't mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. Did y'all get that? Isn't that kind of relevant to what we see going on in our world today? Well, you know, we'd help those people, but they're going to take our job. You know, and I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to say this is what God's word teaches, right? Yeah, they're not Americans, but they're your neighbor. They're not Jews, Israelites, but they're your neighbor. Like God speaks, God's word is real relevant, isn't it, to what goes on in life, right? He says, the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. And look what he says. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And by the way, I'll throw this out. I don't know how many people here grew up in Willingboro or New Jersey. How many people came from outside New Jersey? Well, you got a lot of strangers in here. Man, we got to learn to love each other, right? Because we're all strangers. We all came from someplace else. You know, by the way, we'll celebrate that. Pentecost Sunday is coming up it's really May 28th, but we're going to celebrate on June 4th. Pentecost Sunday says, you know what? Praise God that the Holy Spirit came to all of us from wherever we came from. But he says, look what the Lord says back. So when I hear the Pharisees and the teachers of the law say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, are they right? They're really wrong. And you see it right here in this text. So we can skip on down to the next verse just to understand. And by the way, it's so important for us to understand the roots in the Old Testament so we figure out the new. So look at Deuteronomy. And by the way, check this out. It kind of goes that direction for a second about hating your enemy. It says, an Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. This means in the temple with the Jews. Even to the 10th generation, none of these descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet with you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt. In other words, here's what happened, by the way. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, the Moabites and the Ammonites were right there. They could have helped them out, and they didn't. And God held that charge against those people. Everybody look up. That's a little bit scary, isn't it? You know how God sees everything that we do and everything that's going on? And if he saw them, he sees us. And he knows our heart. So it helps me want to go, God, I know you're watching. I know I need to be aware of these things. And look what he says. He says, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you, nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you. And I'll throw this out. Isn't it awesome that when I love other people, God takes care of me? Isn't that awesome? God never forgets you. By the way, you might love someone and they might dog you. Anybody been dogged by someone you love? Right? Don't worry. God has your back. He's got your back. He's got your back, right? And he says this, and I'm going to skip down to verse 7. Look what he says. He says, don't abhor, but we don't use that word so much. The idea of abhor, of abhorrence, is the idea of hate. Don't hate the Edomite, came from Edom, for he's your brother. And by the way, that's Esau's descendants. You shall not abhor an Egyptian because you were an alien in his land. Everybody look up. The Israelites spent 400 plus years in Egypt. They were enslaved in Egypt. The Egyptians, many of them were awful to the Israelites. And look what God says. Don't hate them. I'll throw this out. Is that human thinking? I want to hate them, and I want to get them, and I want to hurt them, and I want to continually do that over and over. But God's thinking is different, isn't it? See what he says? And he says, the children of the third generation born to them may enter the assembly of God. I'll throw this out. Do you see God's grace? God's grace says they're going to be able to be part of the body. Because when Jesus came, he came to be a blessing to Israel and to all of the earth, as Genesis 12, 15, and 18 and beyond say, right? So guess what? The Pharisees and Sadducees and false teachers, they had the law all wrong. And so do we. Because humanly, I want to get them when they get me. Spiritually, God says, love them when they get you. So we're going to go on. Keep going. Next verse, Sarah. So look what he says. He says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. That is just like an amazing thing. We'll slide down, and I just want to share for a second. Think about the limits of the law. And we'll go right down to the next slide. Check out these limits. Like the limits are, love your enemies. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. So my first question is, who are they? Think about who your enemies are. Here's a couple of thoughts that came to my mind. People that hurt us are our enemies. I read one commentator, he said this, the people that hurt you come from their own world of hurt, and they just pass it on. Isn't that kind of true? Many times people that are hurt are the ones who end up hurting others. People that are hostile to us. I don't have to go too far. I could just go to Walmart this afternoon. I can find those people. Just get in line ahead of them. Or be too slow in the self-checkout. Right? You know, they're there, right? People that are hostile. You know, that's who we think our enemies are. People who are different than us. They think differently. You know, they vote differently. They have different ideas about certain things. They must be my enemies. No, they just don't know what a friend we have in Jesus. Right? People that annoy and frustrate us. You got any of those? They probably, by the way, they live in your neighborhood. They have dogs that bark too early. They mow their grass before 8. They have cars that are loud. They have wild parties and people hang out and park in your spot. People annoy us, right? Are they your enemies? Right? That's who we kind of think about. Who are they, right? That's people. And by the way, look what God calls us to do. Bless them, do good to them, and pray for them. Love them. Wow, that is a high standard. We go to the next slide. Sarah, help take us there if you would, please. So check out what the Lord says. And I heard this before. I think it was Pastor Ansu who said this last week, right? He talked a lot about we are not supposed to retaliate. The Christian life is not tit for tat, right? It's to be different. We're to respond, not react. God wants us to live differently, right? And check out this passage, right? As I think about these limits, the Apostle Paul wrote these same words, by the way, he learned from Jesus, right? Look what it says. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Anybody convicted? Yeah, we all probably are, right? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Look at verse 17. It says, repay no one evil for evil. That's classic what? Tit for tat. You get me, I'm going to get you. And I'm going to try to get you a little better. Right? That's how we want to live life. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. By the way, everybody, in your Bibles, right, it says, vengeance is mine. That's God speaking, not you. Vengeance is his, not ours, not mine, not yours, right? And look what he says. He says, therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, here's that phrase, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Did you guys get that? I remember someone made this quote a while back. They said, when they go low, I go high. Right? Yeah, it was Michelle Obama, I think, said that, right? That's kind of the idea, right? The idea is, you know what? When people come low at us and they like to, you know, go shoot low, hit low, then we're going to go higher. We're going to come overcome evil with good. And everybody look up for a second. As God builds his kingdom here and people find that kind of power and that kind of integrity in the people of the body of Christ at 216 Sunset Road, isn't that going to be kind of remarkable? It's going to be startling. It's going to be like, people are going to like, something's going on there. I don't understand what's happening over there, but those people are weird. In a good way. In a good way. Right? That's what God's looking for. That's what God wants to see in us. So we're going to go to the next slide. Go with me, Sarah, if you would, quick. So these limits, right? Love your enemies. Who are they? And by the way, here's the interesting thing. Do you guys think that if you're evil to the evil people around you, that you're going to win? Are we going to overthrow evil with evil? You know, are we going to, you know, we're going to outfox them? If we're going, they sin against us, I'm going to sin back. Is that going to help? Right, and by the way, the Bible says this. Look at Ephesians, right? It just says, you know, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places or high places. So think about this for a second. Humanly, right, you get hit, you want to hit back. Does that ever really work? You might say it might work. You know, people talk about, he's a bully. Give it to him. Does it ever really work in the long term? Doesn't really work, right? And the Bible says that. So we'll skip down to the next slide, just kind of reinforce that. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, right? It says, and Paul wrote this, he says, for we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's our weapon, right? So, like, I'm not going to get anywhere by doing the same bad thing back at someone else, and I'm just going to bring down the Lord's name. I'm not going to be successful. It's not going to work because God's word, the Bible says, this is how it really works, right? And I love, by the way, the last sentence, the last phrase there. I want you guys to get this in your minds, and we've looked at this numerous times, but I'm struggling to do it all the time. Look what he says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, that's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, he said what? Love your neighbor and love your enemy. I got to bring all the thoughts that go against that captive so that I can live the way God wants me to live. So that we can be people of character and God can really build his kingdom here amongst these living stones that are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. We're going to go to the next slide. And I call this the likeness of God. And check this out. It says, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You get that? So here's the idea. And by the way, Sarah, just real quick, go to the next verse, and then we'll come back again. Notice what Ephesians says. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We're supposed to imitate God. And Sarah, go back a verse, if you would, please. We're supposed to imitate God. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do, to imitate God in our lives here as we read this in Matthew chapter 5. And by the way, look at God. Does God withhold the rain from the wicked people? Does he withhold the sun? No, right? He doesn't do any of those things. And Sarah, could you just click back one slide, please? Thank you. He doesn't do that. God, he gives the sun on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And here's what God's calling us to do. If we're God's children, we ought to act like God. We ought to act like God. And this common grace that God pours out on everyone ought to be the common grace that comes out of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. And by the way, I'll tell you this, everybody look up. Man, God is setting the bar awful high, isn't he? Yeah. Awful high. I don't know how I'm going to do that. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is through the Spirit and the power of the living God and his word working in me every day. Because I keep wanting to go back to who I was. And I know most of us want to do that, right? So we want to skip on down. Thanks, Sarah. Take us to the next couple. Go down two, if you would. One more. And notice what he says, and this kind of logic of it all. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. You get it? Everybody look up. If the church is going to be this distinguishing thing, if we're going to be people of character beyond what you normally see out there in the world, then we got to go God's way. Does that make sense? It's illogical. By the way, how many people know that? How many people have friends out there who don't know Jesus that they're really friendly to their friends? They help them. They care about them. They give them, they do GoFundMes for them. They do all kinds of stuff, right? Everybody does that for their friends. But God's saying, you know what? You guys are so different because of Jesus. You're going to show it because you're going to love your enemies. You love people that really annoy you and bother you. You're going to do all those things. And use that phrase about, is anybody working for the IRS? You probably don't want to raise your hand. Right? And, you know, the way we feel about that kind of humanly, right, you know, is, you know, tax collectors, they were known in that day, by the way, to be greedy, wicked. They would take your money. You know, they would charge you $100 and take 50 for themselves. You know, they were known to be that kind of people, right? And he's saying, that's what they do. But you guys are the people of the living God. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that no more, right? So we're going to shoot down to the next part. Wow. The logic, right? And by the way, I'll throw this out, and it's not my purpose to teach this, this passage about Jesus uses Luke chapter 10, and he talks about the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan, by the way, the Samaritans were hated by the Israelites. And the Israelites, man, they just reciprocated that same thing. They hated them. The Samaritans hated them. They were all hating each other. But the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know, Jesus kind of illustrates this idea about loving your enemies. He says, and he answers the question, who is my neighbor? And by the way, write this down on your page. You know who your neighbor is? Everybody. We can't go, well, that nice guy, he's my neighbor. The other guy, nope, not him. Everybody's your neighbor. And at the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, he says, so which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And by the way, notice Jesus' instruction. It says, and Jesus said to him, what? Go and do likewise. You know, Luke 10 really supports Matthew 5 here so much. And the previous part of Luke right before that. So he says, go and do likewise. That's the logic. Next place, Sarah, if you would. Thank you. And that's the dupe of the same thing. Keep on going. So here's the next question. How do I serve people with integrity? I know I got to love my enemies. How do I serve with people with integrity? And I'll throw this out. By the way, everybody look up. Isn't it kind of cool when you do something good and somebody sees it and they give you the pat on the back? Do you guys like that? We all like that, right? Kind of good, right? And the Lord's saying, you know, as people of character, that's not why we serve. We don't even love our enemies so everybody can see us. We love them because that's what God commands us to do. So I want to just share real quick sort of the second thought in this idea is, how do we serve people with integrity? And I'm going to go right to the verse. So there's a warning, and then there's a way. And here it is. Right, so here's the warning. Look what Jesus says. He says, you people of character in the Church of Christ, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. By the way, notice the rest of the warning. He says, otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Ooh. So as we're going about being these people of love, you know, I'll throw this out. we don't want to do it this way. You know, you don't want to do something real nice to Jonathan looking over to see if Cindy's watching. You get the idea? And by the way, we like to sort of do nice things when people are watching because they're going, brother, you're such a good brother. You know, we like to hear that. We like to hear those kind of things. That's not the point, right? We're doing it to do what? We sang about it, right? Do what? Bring glory to God. He's the one that ought to get the glory, not me, not you. God gets the glory. And he's, look what he says here. He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. But surely I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And by the way, that's a figure of speech, right? What is he trying to say? Don't talk about it. You know, don't go out into a public place and invite the crowd to come see you. He said, just go do it. Somebody's got a need, go fix it. Somebody has a problem, go help them. Just go do it. Don't worry about everything. You know, tell anybody else about it. And he says that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So what, you know what today? So God gave us two things, right? He says, love everybody. Your friends, your enemies. They're all your neighbor in your neighborhood. And then when you love them, don't blow the trumpet and get everybody to watch you be such a good Christian. Just do it. Just love them the way Jesus did. We're going to go down to the next slide, Sarah. Keep right on going. How do I apply this today? A couple things come to my mind, right? Here's one. And by the way, I stole this from the last time I preached too. Still true. As Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, my knowledge of what God wants me to do has got to grow. Because what I think often is wrong. And by the way, I spent 10 years in Bible college. And what I think is wrong a lot. Because the world is just influencing me every second and every day. And it's just getting me all, you know, all ginned up in my emotions. And I'm apt to do wrong so much. So I got to grow. I got to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Word of God. Or I'm not going to be able to pull this off. So I encourage you guys, let's just be teachable. Let's be open to hear God speak through His Word. So critical. Second part is this. You know what? When I know what God says, I got to take captive all those other ideas and thoughts and emotions and all the things that just well up in me. You know, it's so natural. If you hit me, I want to just get you. And I don't think I'm alone in this room, right? I don't think I'm alone in this room. I got to take captive those thoughts, and I got to allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to break those strongholds. I got to confess my sin to God. Sometimes I got to confess it to you, and I got to allow God to make the changes in me that got to be made. That's so important. And I said this earlier. If you're here today, if you're an unbeliever, praise God, man. God wants you in the family, and He wants to give you genuine salvation so that you can have victory and you can overcome these things. And for the rest of us that have been saved, we're just like saying, praise God, I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. You know, and a lot of us would be in, I praise God, thanks, Tanya, for even raising your hand. A lot of us would be in a bad place. You know, I kid around with people sometimes at church. I'll say, man, I'm so glad you're saved. Because, you know, we have strong personalities here. I don't know if it's our culture here in New Jersey. You know, we're in that mid-Atlantic states, you know. You know, we're Philly, we're New York, we're D.C., we're Baltimore, we're all rolled into one. And it seems like fun on, you know, at the football game, but it's crazy sometimes, right? You know, God needs to really change us, and it starts with salvation, right? And the last thing I just want to encourage you guys is, you know, you came in today, we got to yield. The Holy Spirit spoke today to me too. Because, you know, I got the same neighbors you got. They're not so nice always. You know, I know people that sometimes I want to just clobber them. And God has spoke to my heart and said, you know what? You're wrong. And I got to yield to God's Spirit. And I got to let him change me. And by the way, it's going to start right now. You know, I can't even guarantee that when you leave church, everything is going to go good today. It probably won't. We've had car accidents in the parking lot, on Sunset Road. You know, the world is broke. Things happen. But God wants to take really righteous people because of Jesus, and he wants to showcase that to the world to bring him that glory. Amen? And build his kingdom. So I'm going to throw this out. In the weeks ahead, we're changing the game a little bit here at First Baptist. And you guys go, oh, that's always a scary statement. But here's what I'm talking about. At the end of service, if you have a need, and by the way, we would be liars if we didn't say we have a need. Deacon Jonathan, stand up, John, please. It's going to be here. We're going to have some guys in the front and some ladies. We're going to be building a team up. And if you have a need and you can't get to me or Pastor Ansu, or, you know, you feel comfortable talking to John or Marion or Richard or somebody, and by the way, I'm not Nancy or whoever it is, those people are going to be recognized each week, and they're going to be identified. And if you have a need, you know, I know some of you guys got to run out and go to work, but if you have a need and you want someone to pray with you and talk to you and just help direct you, they're going to be here. Because on Sunday, church is a place that God does business. And he's changing us, and he wants to change us, and we want to be part of that process. Sometimes when I stop talking, you know, all we're thinking about is the next thing we got to go to, me included. But God wants to do spiritual business in our lives and change us. So in this couple weeks, you're going to be seeing that. So, you know, as I pray today, if there's some need, whether I make a real public invitation to walk forward or not, these folks are going to be coming up. They're going to be on the first row. And if you have a need, just reach out to them, you know, and they'll reach out to me, Pastor Ansel, if they needed help or whatever it is, and we'll figure it out. And by the way, sometimes we don't even know all the answers, but we're going to get together and sit together. We're going to go to the God who does know all the answers. Amen? Amen? So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, dear God, for its power and the way it just speaks to our heart and deals with the real issues of life. And I pray, dear God, that you would use your word today to make us saved, born again, people of character upon which you build your church. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name, amen.